Hey, it's Deatra Pickett with Community Connection Chats with D here with Jay Aleem on Star of Talk.
I'm in the studio with Jay Haleem.
I'm in the studio with Jay Haleem.
I am in the studio with Jay Haleem.
I am in the studio with Jay Haleem.
I'm in the studio with Jay Haleem.
You are now in the studio with Jay Haleem.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jay Haleem, and this is round two with Foxy Brown's daughter. Hey, yo, it's just so crazy, you know, now that people are actually hearing the first interview and, you know, you shared with me that your people on your side are saying I was going crazy about you. So let me do a little bit more, because why shouldn't we go crazy over our sister? You know, so we'll make them mad a little bit more. And maybe if they got on the show, I'd go crazy about them, you know, but everybody ain't got iconic celebrity lookalikes, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So got to put that out there. And then again, it's something too, our sisters be trying to look like, you know, white women, keeping all the way a buck. And so I'm grateful that you like an iconic black woman. You know what I mean? You look at, and she don't listen to my show, but if she do, hey, you can come on here and I'd love to have a smoke. But like Lala Anthony, she like a Kardashian now.
Oh, did you see me post that she responded to my story yesterday?
No, I didn't see that. What happened?
Yeah. I actually, I guess she was at the awards recently. I don't know if those were the billboards, but she had on some clear shoes and her toes were like really long in the shoes.
Wow.
And they were clear shoes.
Yeah,
so you can see her toes. And so I put in my story and I said, Lala, these shoes are not made for us long toe, narrow feet, big feet females.
Oh, wow.
And she laughed at my story and messaged me. And I said, I'm sorry, boo, but I understand. And I had screenshotted and shared it. But yeah.
I like Lala, man. Well, you know, I don't dislike her because I don't know her like that to dislike her. She didn't do anything to me. So I've liked her journey from back in the day to when she started dating Mello. But I definitely dislike this change in her, you know, because she looks like a Kardashian, you know, literally.
She's still pretty.
I'm not saying she's never not been pretty, but she did go from the tomboy to surgery and she just kind of surgeried out. At this point in my opinion,
she's looking for love. Like Carmelo did her wrong. I don't think she should have did any of that. I don't agree on any of that surgery that she did or whatever, but to each his own. If they feel like they want to do it, okay. I mean, it's a couple of things that I would love to do. Like I got Oprah wings. I love to chop these arms a little bit, but as far as that,
again, I don't mind augmentation. I don't like when you just turn into another person. You see what I'm saying? Because like our sisters, you know, you have babies and you decide to breastfeed. That one that big kid was on going to hang a little further than the other one. You know what I'm saying? So if you bring that bad boy back up to where it's supposed to be, cool. I dig it. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know, if you out there because you can't, you know, just the workout just not working for you and you want to bring the tummy down a little something to help you out. Yeah, do that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But why are we trying? Like, you see what happened to Lil' Kim? Iconically gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Iconically gorgeous.
Yeah, very. Kim was very, very pretty.
And you heard the operative word was. You know what I'm saying? Like, why did you feel like you needed to do that to yourself? You know what I'm saying? Like, I was hurt when I found out Toni Braxton had surgery because that was my girl I grew up watching. That was Toni. But you still couldn't tell.
I still don't want to believe, you know. I know when her cheeks get a little chubby, it's her lupus. So
yeah, I'm talking about back in the day, you know, like when she was she got breast breast implants, but I didn't know it. She just it was so.
Well, she was very flat chested, you know, when she came out. She was extremely flat chested. So I guess she thought she wanted a little something, and
that's not bad, but I mean, Jesus Christ, to be in a space where, and she did do her nose too, you know. I actually met a dude in South Carolina, because she spent a lot of time in South Carolina. I met a dude who was like her childhood boyfriend.
Oh, really?
And he showed me a picture of them two when they was young. You know what I mean? So she had that the black people nose And she kind
of I seen a picture of all the girls when they were younger. Yeah.
And she made that adjustment. So, you know, and again, that one worked. But Lala straight up went to, because Lala ain't had no butt that big. It was just like she went, her butt wasn't big at all, but then it got big. Okay, you made a little something cool. She done went straight on Kardashian. So she looked like another Kardashian. Like, and like I fell out of love with Khloé. I used to love Khloé.
Yeah,
and then you know she lost all that weight and she looked just like her sister. And
you like Khloé when she was a little thicker.
Yeah. Because I like natural. I like
when she
natural.
Looked, when they said she looked like OJ.
Hey, I like natural, but I get it. And if you got some paper to fix yourself, do that. You know, but fix and change is two different things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it. I mean, I know people who've had surgery. It may have not been the best looking. They don't look really the best, but, you know, to each his own.
I want to recognize you. Don't you want to recognize them? Don't you want to be able to say, oh, that's you? Like, and then still give you the props and say you look better? Like, because that's what you're doing it for. But if you don't know who the hell it is, then it's like,
Well, I just want to see them when we get older. That's all. And see what happens with it. That's it. Because I'm satisfied and I don't have, you know, people can't see me. I'm sitting down on my flatty right now, but I don't have a big rear end and never wanted one. Maybe I tried to wear them little butt pads one time in my life, but it wasn't working for me. I was scared one day I was going to sit too long and get up and one be up here and one be down here. So I left that alone, but they were comfortable. They were really comfortable, you know, especially when you go to a basketball game, they were comfortable to sit on, but I didn't need no behind, so I never wanted to put any money to anything like that.
Yeah, I can dig it. And you see why people, this is why people were digging us on air like this, because we can have these type of conversations as well as getting to know you and talking business and everything like that.
Off track talking about
stuff. Nah, it's cool because it's very, very comfortable. And this is what, you know, people don't want to just be, you know, everything's so rudimentary and, you know, everybody is routine. Nah, it's nothing about me routine. I don't believe that's the same with you, besides, you know, what we raising kids and, you know, they make you have a routine. But outside of that, you know, you ready to take it where it need to go. So having these conversations and being bold enough to have these conversations, you got to be able to talk about it. And we're not, you know, we're being tasteful. Again, shout out to Lala. She's always been a beautiful girl, you know, especially always have a beautiful face. I remember the tomboy Lala, you know.
Right. And I appreciate her, you know, laughing at my joke and not blocking me. So, because my cousin was like, she gonna block your ass. And he didn't block me. So, you know, I'm still, I checked today and I still follow.
People say way worse. I promise you, people say way worse. So she know what it is. And she probably like, I'm happy somebody was keeping it a buck, but tastefully.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tastefully. So that's how we do. So last time we was about to talk about your baby girl, your beautiful baby girl. She's not so much of a baby anymore, but, you know, I'm seeing nice model pics and she's a businesswoman and everything like that. We already know who she got it from. What was that transition like for you, you know, with trying to, because, I mean, you help other people get into business. But, you know, okay, your daughter now, what's that transition like? Because it's a little bit more closer to home.
I think she's seen my hustle. Like, she's seen mommy at work all the time. And she's seen, you know, me talking about business. And I always told them, you know, they were small when I got laid off from the state. They were really small. And I just always told them, both of them, because I became a single mom when they were 3 years old and 3.5 months old. Wow. So my son really didn't hear those stories, but I, you know, my daughter was really independent. Mimi was very independent when she was 3 years old. She was getting us clothes out for school the next day. She wanted to do her own hair and, you know, she wanted to do everything on her own. She didn't want me to touch nothing. Then when her brother got here, she thought that was her baby and she wanted to do everything for him. So she's been very independent and moved really fast when it came to her life. So I knew when that girl got to high school, it wasn't gonna be long before she was out of there. She got tired of high school real quick. She was done with high school in 3 years.
Wow.
She went to her junior year and was like, I'm out of here. She graduated early. And now that she's in college, she's done 2 years and she graduates next May. So she'll be 3 years in college. Wow. So she's leaving college a year early because she's taking classes right now, both summers, so she could be done with school a year early. And she'll have her business degree a year early. She's not supposed to graduate until 2024. She's going to graduate in 2023. And, you know, I think they saw the transition from me getting laid off and me saying, okay, I'm not about to sit here. Severance paid, I ran out, which I had a great severance pay. Thank you, doctor. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I had a great severance pay. And even when I got laid off from the state, when Christy laid us off, thank you, Christy. I had a great severance pay from there. And unemployment kicked in. I said, they don't give you much.
This ain't going to be nothing.
This ain't going to be nothing. How am I going to survive off of this? It's two kids and myself. I'm a single mom, but I'm not about to go put my baby father on child support so that when he come home, get out of prison, he's right back in there because he couldn't pay the 18 years that he got to do time. No, I'm not doing it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Let me speak to that
because it's a lot of sisters. I mean, they got one child and this is like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing ever. And my kid father's not helping me and nobody's helping me. And then they're going to do the child support thing. It's the drama. It's fighting the new girlfriend or baby mama. It's all type of stuff. What was it like for you? And what was your mindset like when you said, hey, I'm just going to handle this. I'm not worried about him. This is what I got to do.
Day one, I always told him, which, you know, I always say you have to be very careful. And it's something I probably have never shared this, but everybody's going to hear it now. But when I had my babies, you know, I told him, I said, I could do this. I won't need you. And I kind of wish I didn't say that, you know, because you have to be careful what you wish for and stuff. And but it wasn't saying that in a bad way, because him and I, you know, we had our rocky times, but, you know, he was my best friend. You know, it wasn't like he was my husband or boyfriend. And that was my best friend first and foremost, their father. And, you know, I just was like, you know, if you gonna deal with your other situation, you can go right now. I know how to take care of these babies. My mama did it. I know what the rule book is. I know how to do this.
So you wasn't saying you ain't want him there. You were just saying, like, you felt like he had a lot going on. And it was like, hey, this, don't think that this is holding you up or preventing you from doing something else. You know what I'm saying? Like,
And I won't be nobody's secret. So that's where
I dig that. And we had to clarify that because a lot of sisters say that nowadays, but it means something different because, you know, and we have this discussion offline. We're talking about, you know, in the Black community, man, it's just like we are at odds. I believe this with every fiber of my being, that the Black man and the Black woman are at odds. And a lot of it has something to do with, you know, real false narratives, you know what I'm saying? And then over jobs and careers and you know, a lot of this stuff was planted, but we, you know, self-perpetuating. We do it on our own, but it's, and I don't want people to just be like, well, you know, Dee Dee did it. You know, she told her baby father she don't need to see, and she like, nah, it's not. We need each other for real, for real. We need each other more than ever right now, you know, and we always did. So, but certain people's circumstances are different, and you got to be able to, you know, play the hand that you dealt.
But that's why I emphasize on that. I wish I would have never said that, because you do. I'm a manifesting person. I believe in, you know, saying things out loud into the universe. So when I said that out loud, not saying I had anything to do with, you know, how he got where he ended up. But I'm just saying that you have to be careful of what you say in the words that you put out there in the universe, because I know that what I went through over the years, I wish their father was there. Yeah. I wish their father could have went through the process and was there for all the meetings at school I had to go to, all the shows, all the graduations, because I mean, he done missed all the graduations.
Wow.
Kindergarten, eighth grade, high school. And I hope he don't miss college, but who knows?
Yeah, how do they feel about that? And you had those discussions with your children. How do they feel about it?
I have these discussions all the time. I actually had a discussion with my son today. But you know, my daughter type where she do her, you know, and then she's at a point like, you know, because their dad is Muslim for one. You know, and my daughter is, you know, she's a model. And she's like, you know, at this point, Ma, I gotta go on with my career. I gotta do, my father only wants me to take photos with Kmart's on and things like that. That's not what I want to do. You know, so, and we've had this discussion with
him. Three-fourths of cloth, young lady. Three-fourths
of cloth. Never showing your stuff off, boo. But, you know, she has had this discussion with her dad. And, you know, he changed the tone when money got involved. You know, he found out his daughter would make.
Right?
Yeah, when he found out his daughter could make this money, you know. But, you know, I think explaining to them about, you know, mom never wanting to see them without, got them to understand that, you know, having a business on the side, or having something to fall back on and never being afraid to take that step and do something different. I think me having those conversations and them just seeing it, like, it's better. My kids, they seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and they seen it in action, you know, and they know that I made a choice. And I just had a discussion with my girlfriend. I said, you know what? I had to turn down six figures a couple times just so I could have a peace of mind, just so I could be there for my son when he had a ceremony or a meeting or something my daughter wanted to do. I wanted to be there. I want to be there when my kids get out of school. I want to be there to walk them into school. You know, I want to be available when they're not feeling well, you know, so, and still be able to make money. So I guess that's where they saw all that hustle from.
Did they ever say thank you?
I get it during holidays, birthdays. My kids can buy gifts now. So, you know, I do get the letters. When I start a new contract or get a new job, my daughter always makes sure that she know I'm not good at picking sneakers, and she the sneaker person, you know. So, and she got a good job at a sneaker company. So, you know, she'll buy me some of the flyest sneakers or whatever because I just got a new job, or I got a promotion, or I got a new contract, or I started a new business, or help somebody else start a business. She'll go buy me a little gift. She'll write me a long letter or something. So,
yeah,
you know, I get that back. And then the next day she need me to go do something for her.
I love it. I asked that because, again, I'm raising teenagers, and you know, sometimes kids can be very, very selfish. And I'm saying this, kids can be very selfish, and they're raised that way because they're the only people in the world besides dogs who are like literally.
You just compare kids to dogs.
No, they're not a comparison. They're just in the same wavelength when you start to think about getting something for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have them in here and they just get used to getting things without doing anything. And you're trying to let them know that's short-lived. I tell my daughter all the time, I say, you're going to be older way longer than you're going to be younger. And so once you get to 18 and you're adult, like, the world ain't going to treat you like daddy. When you go out there, it's like, what have you gave us in order for us to give you something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
giving you something just for being, you know what I mean? So
yesterday, I was struggling with my Costco stuff in the house yesterday. And as soon as they went to grab to eat, y'all ain't lift a finger. Y'all ain't come help me. I got my dolly. I got everything on the dolly trying to get all my stuff on Costco.
I can only imagine what that looked like.
In my hair, I had to send my friend, I guess that's what he wanted to be called, but I had to send a video.
He's somebody because you was blushing just a minute ago.
No, that's
look at that.
But no, you know, my fro had done went somewhere else, and and then all of a sudden I just was like, I can't believe I just lugged all that stuff in when these little kids who get the world did not come and help their mother, but
I call them heathens. I call them heathens.
They are. They are. Yeah. I love my kids, but they're heathens.
I call them heathens because, yeah, they just be on the phone. They be just chilling. Did you want me to come out to the car? And you just look at them like, get out of my face.
Oh, you get that? I got from my daughter yesterday. I said, I just struggled to get in here. She said, wow.
It's the after is already done, though. It's like, oh, you wanted us to help? Like, what do you mean? Did you want you
to help? My son said, why didn't you call?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But so, you know, that's why they say thank you, because these kids are really crazy. I used to hear it, but we really know, like, they're really crazy. But it's that time. They're going through a time and, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And we got to stay strong, mm-hmm. you know, raising these kids because so they don't drive us crazy.
But, I had to give my daughter credit because she was up here and she was, you know, doing her assortment of her sunglasses for her business and processing her orders. So I guess she was working, you know, yeah. And then she also, I just moved her home back home from college. So she had I just threw everything in her room. She had to organize because I wasn't doing any of that after bringing it all home by myself. So, So she was, you know, handling her business, you know, back there. So I'm not going to bother her.
Y'all got it good, kids, because gee whiz, I just remember going to college. And I went to college 12 hours away from home. Ain't nobody never bring me there or back.
Oh, man. See, if I was your mom, I would have. Did all that.
And that's part of the story. So it is what it is. So, you know, your baby saw you doing your thing, and you know, in case they're watching, they don't really worry about what you say, they're watching what you do. And what do you think the best lesson they were able to get from watching you over these years as a single mom raise them?
You got to survive. You got to survive in whatever climate is going on, because you make your own weather. You make your own storms. So you need to be able to provide something to fall back on. My son has been begging for a job, which I thought he was one of the laziest kids that I ever met. But when he started at 13 saying, when can I work, Mom? I want a job. I want to work, you know. And when this year came and he was able to get a job as an assistant coach for a basketball team for a youth program, and he found out he wasn't getting paid, he was like, I don't still want to do it, Mom.
Wow.
So he volunteered as an assistant coach this year, and they were really trying to see if he can get paid. They was like, oh, we want it, but he just was too young.
Why they ain't bless him with some money?
No, they gave him a gift card and some things for helping, but
they're heathens too.
Yeah, he just wasn't old enough. But you know, I think when I heard that, I realized that I was doing something good.
Yeah,
you know, I did something good.
Yeah,
my daughter's businesses blossomed the way they have, and to see how she goes to school, full-time classes, 18 credits. I think that's beyond full-time because I think I only took
12 or 13 is
12 is full-time, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so she's, you know, she was doing 18 credits and going to work, you know, then she would work remotely for her campus from her laptop, and then she's doing her business and she's modeling, you know, and doing promos for people, you know, doing her modeling and promoting people businesses through her modeling. So when I see that every day, I'm like, I did that. I don't know if you recognize the video I did for Mother's Day, but you know, I ended it with like that saying with Snoop Dogg when he got his award.
I
like to thank me. So I had to do that. And you know, I'm not gonna, you know, knock my kid's father. I'm not. Because when I needed support, when my son wanted to, you know, test his teachers and, you know, act a little up, even though the only thing that saved him was because he was A's and B's in school. But when he wanted to test those teachers, because we moved into a new town and he wanted to test people that didn't look like us,
mm-hmm.
because they were testing him, and I understood why he was testing them a little bit, but I have to say, when I called that man, or not, well, I couldn't call him, but when I would email that man or send him a letter and say this was going on in the household, bring him up here on the next visit, or let me, he'll call and he'll talk to them. So I cannot knock him for not being there. He was supportive.
That's major. That's major.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and like you said, you know, you keep saying where he is. Everybody pretty much, you know, you know how to read between the lines. You know. But a lot of people like write you off once that happens. And more importantly, baby mothers, you know, wives, whatever the case may be.
Siblings,
everybody. You know, what is it about you that made you say, you know what, you made your choices, but I'm not going to punish you for the choices that you made?
That's kind of, it was hard because I thought about it. I had people in my ear. I don't know if you know, when you see movies, you got the devil and the angel on your shoulder and you got to pluck one off. Well, I went through all of that and I didn't know what I should do, you know, but I definitely knew that I wasn't going to stop my life or my love life or looking for love. You know, I couldn't do that for 18 or 20 years. So I would say that when I would hear his stories, or, you know, he would say, you know, he hasn't heard from anybody or nobody sent the card or something like that. You know, I couldn't leave him out there by himself. You know, I told him I was doing it for my kids. Even when I had a man, my man know about my kid's father, you know, and it was just to be there for support and make sure that my kids saw that I never not, my kids didn't like going to visits. They didn't like going. So sometimes I have to try to not really trick them, but I would say, you know, we need to make a run, or we need to, you know, ride down. Maybe, you know, we'll go to I Play America on our ride down or something like that. So it was a little bribery sometimes, because I know their dad wanted to see them, and I know that it would help for them to see their dad, because when they saw their father, it was just a different type of behavior afterwards. You know, they were pretty good, and they looked forward to, you know, talking to him, but they just didn't like the whole process of getting in.
Oh yeah, nobody does. And if you're from where we from, you've done it. I had an uncle who stayed in there literally my whole childhood, in and out, and every place in New Jersey that you could think of. At some point, literally from, you know, Rahway to Yardsville to, you know, Trenton to Annandale and everywhere else, you know what I'm saying?
But see, they didn't have to go through the glass part, you know. I think they went through it maybe just a couple times, but federal prison is not like that. You know, it's a playroom area, it's a big room where they can go get food out the vending machine. They could put food in the microwave or cook food for them, bring food to their dad. So they got to have that 8:30 to 2 p.m. Time slot.
It's still tough, man. You know,
that goodbye period.
Yeah, I did my dad's whole bid with him. My dad did 7 years from 2000 to 2007. I did his whole bid, and he was in upstate, in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and I was in South Carolina at the time. So I would drive all the way to Scranton, that area, to visit him. I watched the system change, where I would be sending money, then I couldn't send money no more. You know, I had to, you know, couldn't send food, or I mean, send clothes. You had to, they send you the paperwork, but you had to get the brochures and stuff like that to send shoes. So I did the whole thing. And then my own times of going back and forth and doing stuff myself. So that was a different situation. I never went away like that, but just the process alone, and it's frustrating. And I'm glad I got you on here, because a lot of people don't hear y'all's story. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and definitely from a positive space, because I've talked to you offline, and you've been always positive about the situation. And I just believe you did it because you said something that was very important. You said that was your best friend. And that's what best friends do. Even when you might not be, like, you know, you love a person because you got your family who you born with, but then you got that person you chose to be your friend. even if you ain't really rocking with them right now, they can still like give you a call and you'll make something happen for them. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just leaving them hanging like that. You know, you're not going to overextend yourself the way it's going to put you in a bad space, but you still be there for them. And a lot of people need that.
Yeah.
A lot of people need that, especially that's in his position. And so I commend you for being that person. And then, like you said about the child support thing, which is so like crazy to me, because like you said, like he'll step foot outside and get put right back in.
Yeah. I mean, who wants that? Who wants that? I mean, I don't want that on my worst enemy, you know?
No, it's the man, people literally, I don't know if you saw it, but this dummy killed this daughter, beautiful little girl, like 2 or 3 years old, killed this daughter over like $200 a week, I'm sorry, child support.
That's ridiculous.
I never understood that. Like, cats in, back in the day, you would thought child support was a death sentence. You know what I'm saying? Then when I got older, I was like, man, if it was me, I'm grateful I never had to be in that space. But I would have did it. I'd have been like, let's do it.
But see, somebody like that, you know, I have to, you know, be more explanatory of why I say that I wouldn't put them on child support. When my kid's father was home, I didn't need for anything. You know, if that man left me the minute I was pregnant and I never saw him again, or he never bought Pampers or wipes or milk or anything like that, then I probably would have went to child support, you know. But when my kid's father was home, and if he was home today, I still wouldn't need anything for him. He was capable of taking care of his responsibility. He would do it because he took care of his responsibility, his siblings' responsibilities, and everybody in the community's responsibilities if he could, you know, and he did. So I wouldn't put child support on a man like him because of what he did for us when he was home. So yeah, that's why I say that. But all to those women out there, don't get me wrong. If that brother is not doing what he's supposed to do for that child, you go put that ass on child support. You go down there, put him on child support, and every single time you find out that he working or making money or on social media saying I could change 300 to 3,000, you better record, you better screen record that, and you better take it down, and you better modify those payments. What is it called? Modify those payments, yes.
That's crazy. No, and I think that some people deserve it. And it ain't even got to be that extreme. Like, if you guys can't come to an agreement, these things are in place for people who can't come to agreements. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not big enough to handle your business yourself, the government has situations set up to handle it for you. And so utilize their services. It's just like if you can't pay your own bills, the government has food stamps for you, you know? Like, yeah. The government has things set up for individuals who seem like they can't handle themselves. So that's what you do. And I'm cool with it. It's just the vindictive portion of it. And like you said, something that's major, because when it's all good, when we ripping and running and you're benefiting from it. And then when, you know, you can't forget that when somebody go away, you got to actually be in the space. But I appreciate you being a businesswoman on your own right. And being able to step out and, you know, show your kids, like, and without having to put bad words in your mouth about this brother, and still be able to shine in your kids, like, that's major, because we don't get a break. I think this young that sister named Erica, I think it's Lachey. I love her because it's another young, beautiful young sister who always protecting us brothers, man. She protect us brothers all the time. If you not follow her, because we need it. And once y'all start kicking us in the back, it's over for us. They already know they got us, because we already got it. I know who
you're talking about. She's in a polygamous marriage.
No. I know of. Nah,
she's, oh, okay. She's that young. Last name.
She's early. She's like late 20s, and she has a big fro like you. I think it's sometimes it's bigger, and it's just always she'll have braids.
Oh, yes. Sister. I know who,
she is just so smart, and she always sticks up for us. You know, I know we do our stuff, man, but we need y'all more than y'all can ever imagine. And we need each other. And I'm the first person to say, well, we've lost out because we've never protected y'all like we should. But outside of that,
men have, a lot of black men has never protected. A lot of them have never protected me.
Yeah. And that's and I'll be the first to say that we should do a better, we could have done a better job, and we can still do a better job of protecting y'all. Everything else, like, we do crave y'all. We don't crave nobody more than y'all. That's a lie. If somebody told you that, that's a lie. You know, we want y'all. We want all of that other good stuff is all that is on. We don't want y'all not to have your six-figure job. We want you to be a superwoman. We believe you are the queen that's on the chessboard to do everything. But a lot of women, ain't no woman going to tell you that they're not a queen, or ain't no woman going to say that they suck, or they're not doing everything until, you know, and if they do say it, they're going to swear somebody to secrecy, you know what I'm saying? Or say it when they're drunk or something like that. You know what I mean? So I get excited when I get a chance to speak to a woman like yourself who is like, you know what? I have all the reason of, you know, everybody's in my ear. I can say all of the bad stuff, but I'm not going to do it because there's no need. I'm still going to get my own. I'm still going to do what I need to do. I know a good brother of mine who I watched his baby mother. I was filming my film company. I was filming an event, a nonprofit event for young girls. And his daughter was a teenager at the time. And she was one of the ones who spoke. And it was always about these girls that's going through hard times. And I watched her mother make her talk bad about her father in front of a room, an auditorium full of people. And I did, that was the worst job I ever did, because she was like the third young lady. It was like 10 more. And I didn't film nobody else because I know this brother. And that's my guy. So I immediately stopped working and called him. And now to see what, and she got this man arrested multiple times with child support. And now he's like, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to do what I need to do and wait. And when his daughter graduated high school, he got her, brought her to where he lives, got put her in the house, bought her a car for graduation. She's in college now. And he's where he said, I'm just going to wait. And that man cried like a big baby. He was so thankful to God that he finally got his daughter.
Yeah, that sounds like, I can't think his name. My mom loves him. He's from Houston. It starts with a T, but he does a lot of advocacy and stuff for the community. I know Beyonce picks him up all the time. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name, but something recently happened to him like that, where he couldn't see his daughter. And he even went on like the Breakfast Club to talk about it. And you can tell his mood, because when you used to hear him talk about the storm and helping out back then with when the storm happened in Houston, he was so vocal. And you know, so, but then when he was on the Breakfast Club and doing his interviews, he would talk about that his kid's mother won't allow him to see his kid. He, you know, I think it was some arrest issues, child support issues, all this stuff. His tone just sounds totally down, like he sounded depressed. It was so, my mother was like, I'm so sad to hear him like that, you know. And it all boils down to, but I think now he was, after those interviews, he's able to see his daughter now and everything. But thank God. But he just, it just ruined this man. It, you know, it just took so much out of him. So, you know, I'm not saying this for every man, and I'm not against child support, and I'm not saying I'm against child support, because I know a few that will deny their kids and need and won't do a thing for them, won't give them a dime. They probably need to be forced to pay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But some of them don't even care. They still won't pay.
And be honest, they need their ass whooped. I'm with that. You know, they need that too, because I don't want to be around nobody who won't take care of the kids. That's the corniest
thing. And I don't want a relationship with anybody who don't want to take care of the kids. That's the first thing that I talk about. How you feel about your mother? If you disrespect your mother, I don't want you. And how you feel about your kids? If I don't see you around your kids, I don't want you. I don't care what you go through with your baby mamas, but it's about those kids.
Yeah, most definitely. So you got a bunch of businesses. You know, how do you juggle it? How do you make it all work? What's the secret sauce?
I'm selfish. I have no employees. No,
what are you sure about that?
No, I think I'll get to a point where it can be like that, you know. But being self-employed is a peace of mind for me. I would love to advance and do more things. Like, I think that I'm not done. I think that I want to do more. So it's about always, you know, investing in yourself. And I've done that a lot. You know, I've invested in myself to learn more, to train my mind better. But like I call myself sometime, I call myself the business psychic. And I could sit and talk to somebody. And, you know, if you're having a problem with coming up with a business idea, I'll talk to you and get it out of you. I'll figure out something for you, you know. So, and then it's
the one you like the most?
Huh?
Is that the one you like the most, doing that? Helping other people get their business off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, the psychic part, I haven't even charged anybody for doing that. But, you know, I would like to continue with the, and I do have, my business is about consulting, you know, Diamond TNT Services. I do consult in that area, but my consultant does end up being the LLC formation, you know. So, but I have thought about, you know, starting that business psychic part and charging people for that. And, you know, just coming up with the ideas for them of what, like talking to them and getting some, but that I've offered to people.
I mean, you don't have to start nothing new. Just add it to what you're doing. It's just, you know, saying, and you don't have to, you know, the psychic, that could be a good gimmick, probably like, you know, something trendy to talk about, but still in business is very, very hard to get through these ideas. A lot of people have a lot of ideas. And, you know, it's like what to do first or what some things that I need to get rid of. I need to run away from, you know what I mean? And helping people, you know, get to that point is major, because when you're trying to do 15 different things, it's kind of hard to see growth. And so if you can help them with clarity, I think that that'll be great. But
and I've dropped things. I've come up with businesses, you know, did a business plan for them and everything, and just said, no, this is not what I want to do. I started a cleaning service before, you know. Yeah. I had clients and everything, and I just said, no, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah, and that's a skill. Like I tell people all the time in business, when I coach, I'm like, you know, sometimes the greatest thing is letting something go. We always think bring something else. Even in my last book, I put is a chapter, say don't start another thing, don't create another thing, because like we get caught up in that startup phase, because that's the sweetest phase. It's like everybody supports you in the startup phase. Everybody's saying, go, you can do it, you can do it. Then you also get grace in that space too, because, oh, you just started. So you're not, the expectation isn't as big as somebody who's been there 5 or 10 years. You're supposed to have this together at this point. Mm-hmm. So that those type of things, you know, some people never see that part because they happy with starting something else. And start something else to stay in that cycle. But at some point, you're going to have to pick that thing that you love enough, or you even if it's just about money, and you're saying, okay, you know what? I want to do all this, but this is the thing that everybody wants. You know, business nowadays is about us, as opposed to it's really supposed to be about who's going to buy the product or who problem you're solving.
What's
the biggest problem that you have in that's coming through your doors? And the biggest problem is probably going to pay the biggest money if you can solve it. Mm-hmm. And it'll keep you busy. It'll do all the things you want to keep you warm at night, keep food on the table, keep everything. The biggest problem you solve. You know, when I took pictures, I went to lawyers because I was like, oh, okay. They don't want, one thing about lawyers, doctors, dentists, accountants, those people, like they're very like up here with it. They don't want to try to figure out how to do your job.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? Come do this. I'm going to pay you and then get out my face. Cause I'm busy in a book. I got a meeting. I got this going on. You got other people down. They got this side hustle. Ain't too many lawyers got side hustles. You know what I'm saying? It's not too many doctors got side hustles. And so whatever you do, they ain't going to be cleaning their own house. Like a detail cleaning, call a company.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to be doing the plumbing. Call somebody. And so when I went after my people, I went after them. Because I knew what time it was, because Uncle Remus would probably say, I'll do my baby's wedding. You ain't got to take pictures of their wedding. You know what I mean? So I understood that part. And so that's, you know, I think that being able to help people get through those ideas can be major for you.
And that's why I got rid of my cleaning business, because I'm like, that's not one of the my favorite things I like to do. I hate coming home and having to clean, you know? So it was just like, you know, maybe I can start it, but I need people to come in here and work. So that's one business that, you know, I would bring employees for.
And, that's a great business, though.
Yeah, I mean, I still have it. I mean, but I just don't do anything with it. And so eventually, if I wanted to, you know, run it again, I would get people to do it, you know, and I just figured that my one business, Diamond TNT Services LLC, is the one business that brought me all the opportunities. That's the first business that I started. That's my first baby. It's the one who taught me how to do my taxes under my business, you know. So it did so much for me, and it's so open. I do so much with Diamond TNT Services. You know, I'm not only, you know, I started as just doing consulting and being a mobile notary to loan signing agent, from a loan signing agent to a process server. So I'm serving papers, and then I went from that to you know, trying to do investigations, and I'm doing realtor inspections and stuff. So then that turned into Impeccable Alliance, my investigation, where I was doing private investigations. So I took my skills from the state as an investigator into there.
Pam Grier is really her mom, B. know.
I got those too. No.
So, you know, if anybody watched the Pam Grier movies, you know,
come with another Pam Grier story.
A vigilante. She was always a vigilante. You know what I'm saying? She was always on it like that in those movies. So that's why I said
going to the back of the head to pull out the weapon.
Exactly. And see, they don't even know. And as soon as you said that you were serving papers, I'm like, how did she pull that off? Like, what?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites. I'm actually getting back into it because... I did a job over the weekend or whatever. So, and I started getting calls, I started getting emails and stuff from some of my old clients, asking me, was I doing it again? And I'm like, maybe I should. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I never ran into like any problems. I mean, I had people say, you know, I'm not going to accept those papers, but I'm a real down to earth person. I don't approach them on some, I'm serving you, you know, and being mean. I'm coming up to them and I'm letting them know who I am. I'm letting them know what I'm doing and who I'm delivering the papers for and why, you know. So I'm not one of the ones, because I hear stories. Like, I'm in tons of process server associations and groups and stuff, and I see people say, oh, I got chased by this dog and Cujo was after me, and you know, somebody came after me with an axe, somebody shot at me. Jesus so
right.
I don't want those problems. Yeah, so I'm the nice one. I make sure I'm pretty when I come.
Uh-oh, there it is. So this is the thing for me. I'm listening to you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think you're waiting on your children. I think you're literally like, yeah, because you got, how old is your son?
My son is, he'll be 16.
Yeah, I really think that you're like, you know what? I can do this. I could do that. I can kick it with this. I can make some money doing this. But your real job is like, I'm mommy. I'm having fun being mommy.
That's right, my now. First job.
Yeah, because some people be like, I mean, you say that, but I believe it for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe it for you. Like, because I see a calm over you. It's no sense of like, well, except for your kids, there's no sense of urgency about anything else but your kids. Like, what are they doing? What do they got going on? And I think that the business situation is like, it'll come. If I feel like doing that later, I'll do it. If I feel like doing that,
I need money though, Jay. So I have to do
it. But when you create all those businesses, there's money coming through now. That's not, you know, like we got to talk real business, because people don't understand this. Like, you got self-employed and you got entrepreneurs, and we need to close that gap right there. When you're self-employed, you can make a lot of money, more than entrepreneurs. People don't know that, because you don't have the overhead. You said you don't have no employees. So whatever bag you get is your bag. You know what I'm saying? So you're not paying payroll taxes, you know, all the stuff that it takes, you know, have an office space and make sure somebody's house.
I pay taxes now. No.
I'm talking about payroll taxes.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's like double salary. You hire somebody for $20 an hour. By the time you pay all the stuff that comes, you're paying $40 an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then then you training them. That's hours of training that you got. Insurance, if you decide to match, or, you know, kicking on the insurance. It's so much that comes into having a business and being an entrepreneur. See, a lot of people like to whore out my word. And I like to literally correct them. Like, And you're self-employed. You start your own thing. You're doing your own situation. So when you go get $1,000 job, that's your $1,000. Mm-hmm. And if you got five other things bringing in $1,000, you know, now you're doing your thing. We talking.
I had to pay my son. He was my designer. He designed my logos.
And that's a tax break.
Yeah. And he was my logo designer, and he did my business cards and things like that. So he was my graphic artist for my business. So, you know, and even with startup, he was paid.
And that's a tax break. And it's nothing about that. I just see that in you, like the calm. And I see the babies. It's like, it's my kids. They're doing, like, I see you. I can, if I saw you were looking at your daughter, all I see is smiles. All I see is you smiling, watching, like, yeah, like you said, I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of business owners, they down, look, 18 hour days, you know, you up. And you missing things. I remember missing things. My daughter told me, she said, I don't care what you do, long as you ain't working overnight. Oh. And then when I was back and forth, I'm back and forth between South Carolina and Vegas every 2 weeks because of my daughter. She said, no longer, you can't stay no longer than a month. So I worked it out, you know, every 2 weeks because they know what time it is. But in order for me to go away for full time, like, they're really involved. Like, nah, you can't do that much. They call me at 4 o'clock in the morning, West Coast time, which is 7 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, every morning, no matter whether I'm asleep or not. They don't care. It's what's up, daddy? We about to go to school. What you doing? I set my schedule around that. That's what parents and people who are, like, comfortable. But it was a time when I wasn't that comfortable. But I see the comfort in you. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad look. It's telling people that it don't have to be stressful like that. I mean, you're going to have your stressful days, but you're actually basking in the good portions of it.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have my stressful days. And I need women to understand that it's okay to have those moments. Like, you need those moments to yourself. You need to have self-care because we can break. Like, we want to be out here and we want to be superwoman and go back what we were talking about on part one about masculinity. Like, I do this all the time. I'm up in the morning. I'm preparing breakfast. I'm sending them to school. I'm talking to teachers. I'm having meetings. Then making sure that he's picked up at the bus and doing whatever I have to do for my daughter. But people don't realize that it's okay to put our cape down, and I walk around. I literally have a cape. I ain't even going front.
You ain't bring it to the show.
I got a purple one. Maybe we do part three, yeah. But I literally have to say, and like I said before, I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't need a man. I want one, you know, like.
We saw the smile on your face earlier. So, shout out to dude. We're just going to call him dude. Shout out to dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Big homie. We call him big homie.
He's fine. He know who he is, Jay.
Big homie.
Jason. I'm going to say Jason because your name Jay.
Shout out to big homie.
He's all right with it. I talked about it today, and he's actually the one who encouraged me to do my podcast. Without even saying it, you know, I watched him. And like I said, part one, which the show, I watched him. So, you know, it's not like I don't want that masculine person to be there to support me. When I come home, I want us to tell each other our stories. You know, I want us to talk about the kids. You got kids, I got kids. We bring the kids together and do things together as a family. Like, those are the things that I want for whoever my future husband is. And right. I was the young person who didn't want to get married. I never want to get married until I got to my 40s.
Well, Jason, you better get your act together. You better line it up. You better line it up. So, you know, that's a blessing. Like I said, I really, really enjoy you. I enjoy having our conversations because we can actually talk about things that, you know, people feel like it's taboo to have conversations about, especially with men and women. And coming from where we come from, it's not toxic. It's not tacky. It's not too ratchet. But, you know, we do what we do. It's important for people to see that. But one thing I'm thinking about is the future. What does the future look like? What does the next 5 years look like for young Pam Grier?
I hope they call me to do her biopic or something. You know, I do act. I've been in a couple of...
We didn't know that. We did not know what? That.
You haven't seen me post about my hood movies I done been in?
Nah, I didn't catch those. Yeah. And the funny thing, they just put out that Nork is building a theater. Lionsgate is building a film studio in Nork.
Are they?
Yep, the old Seth Borton is going to be Lionsgate Film Studio.
Get out. See, I'm not here in Newark, but I'm in Jersey, and I've never heard of it.
I saw it on Instagram.
And, wow. Yep, that's the old big.
Seth Borton. So anybody from Newark that knows Seth Borton, they already knocked down the project. So
yeah, it's whole, not down.
Yeah, the projects, Freeland Housing Avenue.
Is I see security.
Wow.
I used to do security. And I was, my idea, I just found it. I did security in the senior citizens building in Seth Borton, and that probably was the worst place ever.
I'm sure.
Grandfather, and today's his birthday. Happy birthday to my grandfather. Rest in peace. You know, I remember him calling me and saying, "Get your ass from down there. I'll give you whatever they was gonna pay you for this."
Yes. Yes, my uncle used to work housing out there, man.
Yeah, okay, I probably knew him. But I just feel like, you know, as women, we, like I was saying, we put on this cape where we don't want any, like we feel like once we get that out there in the air and we've had so many bad relationships, we're at a point where we're just like, you know, I don't need no man and forever, whoever go on and get them a woman, to each his own. You know, I'm not knocking you for that, but say I'm just done with men, period, because of how I've been treated. I just feel like there's somebody out there. I'm not going to give up. You know, there's somebody out there who's not going to treat me like the ones that have done me wrong before, you know? So I just feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to pull that cape off and be able to let somebody treat us. Let somebody hold the door open for us. Pull the chair out.
Uh-oh. You know? Those people still exist. Let me tell you something. They around. Listen, see, and Jason, she's throwing shots over here. So I'm going to edit that out.
Yeah, you might have to.
So listen, right? I'm not going to call it part three because we're going to have a relationship conversation. So I'm forecasting that you and I are going to get on here and we're going to talk about relationships. That's not what this is about. We talk about business and all that other stuff too. But we're going to talk about relationships because you have an open enough mind. And we might even bring another person up, but you have an open enough mind to have that discussion because a lot of our sisters, you know, I think they have open minds, but it's not what it's taboo to have it outside. Like they might get with you and... Yeah, I was wrong, girl. But then for public, I ain't never let nobody know that I'm dying with it, you know.
Right. And I'm sure people will knock me for the things I say too about relationships. Cause I mean, I'm not in agreement with a lot of my friends on it either.
Yeah. So we gotta get that out there to the open. I think we'll be doing our people a disservice by not doing that. But let everybody know how they can follow you. They can see how I got caught up on Instagram. And we built a relationship, though, a good relationship off of it. And then, you know, now we, you know, keep it all the way a buck with each other. We cool and we follow each other's movement. We both been on each other's platforms and we plan on doing a whole lot more things in the future. This is how this happens. You know, it's not all bad. Let them know how they can follow you.
They can follow me on Sheba_baby_diamondD. That's DIAMONDEE. I left out the D because it's me. And and that's on Instagram. And I do say it like that for my girlfriend Tanika, who's watching Instagram. but I do that community and connections with D on Instagram, and that's the show you were on, Jay. And I do that on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on Instagram Live, and I have it posted on YouTube as well. Or they can find me on Facebook, you know, under DDD, but they can also put in Deidre Pickett and find me on Facebook as well.
Wherever you need to find her at, find her, subscribe to her YouTube page, but just follow us. She definitely, if you don't know, it's still not a boring page to follow. She got a lot going on. And, you know, her daughter's doing her thing. She's her biggest fan, biggest supporter. So we see.
Oh, yeah. So and go follow MXN 40 Frames. That's MXN 40 FOURTY Frames. That's on Instagram. And check out her website. And she has also Nodula Allure is her other business. On Instagram is Nodula Skin. Yeah, and I believe she spells Skin, S-K-Y-N, Skin. Mm-hmm.
We're going to put that up there on the screen. You guys already know what time it is, man. Listen, this was this could be 3 or 4 episodes because I enjoy talking to this young lady. But we just kicking it, you know, and I feel back home. I got my fellow Jersey person. I'm not around a bunch of Jersey people on a regular basis, so I could kick it, feel like at home. We can talk about White Castle. We can talk about Jersey Fry. We can talk about Kennedy Fry. We can talk about... Yeah, you know, all that.
My castle was after the club.
Exactly. But down.
I don't eat meat no more though. So.
But yeah, so y'all know how to catch us, you know, www.jhaleem.com, www.iwon'tstarve.com. Go to Starve Talk on YouTube right now. Subscribe to the page. Make sure that you click the notification bell so that you can know when we put out new episodes like hers. Part 2 was just as good as
part 1. Y'all watch part 1 before y'all
go watch them both. Keep watching them. Share it. Send it to somebody else. And lighten up. We lightened up on this one. I know I had some great interviews and we talked about business, everything like that. But I think I let my proverbial hair down like she did in this one. And
like I did my hair.
and it made me feel good and I enjoyed myself. Thank you so much. For everybody who's going to watch this, but thank you so much, Dee Dee, for giving me some more of your time, and I'm looking forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, we got a lot of things planned, right?
Yes, a whole lot of things planned, so you guys stay tuned and keep up to what we're doing, y'all. But until next time, we're going to see y'all later.
Right now.